Yes, thank you. God bless you. So I have her say something.
Yeah, he spent over 4 years getting this book together. Everybody told him he needs to write this book, not to go to the grave with his legends. He needs to let the children, the grandchildren, everybody know. Well, he said, I'm not a writer. So one time we were up at the mountains, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, and we went up before the rest of the children got up there, so we were kind of bored. And he was sitting outside, and I finally got a notebook and a pen and took it out there, and I told him, start writing. And he started writing, and he wrote about 7 pages both sides. The first sitting that he was sitting there, all these things were coming to his mind. Well, I'm just grateful to be here again. We think so much of you people. You're so lovely. And it's just consider a home church. And we're going back Friday again where it's warm. Yeah. I can't wait to get there. Yeah, the work is going good. Like, we're going, Lynn and Richard, our daughter, and her husband are taking over, doing all the work. Everything is left onto them to do while we're going. So I'm anxious to get back to help her with that. Because we have the food pantry, we have the church, we have the RV park, and we do a lot of office work for the missionaries and get their mail and their packages there and keep them separated from whenever they come out to get them. And so there's a lot of work to do, and it's a lot all piled on her. And I usually take care of the reservations and greeting the people and the book work and paying the bills and writing the letter and whatever there is what I can do. But, when we get older, you can't do as much as you used to, so we depend on the little ones, the younger ones. But it is just good to be here, and we love you all in Jesus' name.
But anyway, how do you turn this off?
When Anna, I want you just to explain to these people, when you first took all your 9 children in that car, how did you manage that?
Don't tell me how. I don't know. We did. It was great. It's not more than to have a dozen than it is just to have 4 or 5, because they help each other. And the Lord helped us through this. When the Lord called us to go, I couldn't see really how to go. But, the Lord never left us look at circumstances. If he would have looked at circumstances, I'm sure we wouldn't have been there. But we never things like that came to my mind. And I find it is, people used to come and say, you need to obey your husband, and others say you're crazy to doing this. But the Lord just kept punching me to do things, and finally I got to thinking, we're going to have a sale, and I need to get things ready and get through the drawers and things and get everything ready and keep what we want to take along. And just things like that just kept running into place. Like I said, we never looked at circumstances, because we wouldn't have done that, but just by faith we went, and everybody was doing fine. On that picture there, we had 9 children in the station wagon, and him and I was 11. And the back of the station wagon, we had put a mattress for most of the younger ones to lay on. And of course, I had a baby on my lap and another one in the front. And we all had room, and we all made out. And some places, we got 10 hamburgers for $1. And gas was 25 or 29 cents a gallon, which was 56 years ago. So we left with $6 some in our pocket to go close to Pittsburgh, Washington, which was $100 promised on there when we go through. But when we got there, somebody, missionary, had been there before, and they had emptied the treasure, and there was nothing. But he gave us $50. But Luke Weaver told us to go to Berlin, Ohio. And we weren't going to go there, and then we went there, and the pastor had just left to go to Florida. So we said, are we going home? Are we going to Florida? Are we going to Texas? And on the way, we had stopped and pulled off in Somerset under the Hershey's. I remember them. They used to be in Mexico. their twins were working down there. We thought maybe they could give us a little instructions or tell us a little what we're getting into. And when we got there, they welcomed us, but you could sense within their heart that we thought we were crazy. And then when we left, we went back to get on the turnpike, and then he said, which way are you going? And he said, if you're going south or east or west. And he said, well, I guess west. And he said, well, you can't go east because it's snowed shut. The Lord had the turnpike snow shut, so we were forced to go on to Ohio. And there the Lord met us with our needs a lot. And we had enough when we got down there to pay the deposit on electric and water and rent for 3 months and to live until he got a little job to work on the side and go to Mexico every night. And it was, I mean, it was just one thing after another, and we just went along and done it. And before we went, people kept saying, you know, what is your address going to be? Where are you going to live? We don't know, just Mexico. That's all we know. And we didn't know when we were in the car, ready to go, saying goodbye to my mother, my sister. And a car came in the road real fast, and they said, oh, we're so glad we caught you. We were praying we could catch you yet. And they said, we just got a letter that they knew some missionaries down in Mexico that they had went to Bible school with in California, I think. And they we just got the letter back this morning. And they said, there's a house down there waiting on you in San Juan, Texas. We still didn't know the address, but we knew where we were going. So are we knowing where we're going today? Are you knowing where you're going? We're just expecting to see you up there and love you all. Amen.
Thank you, Mommy. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so happy to be here today and be part of Grace Chapel. This is our home church. Pastor Luke Weaver was my mentor when we started in the ministry, and he gave me good and sound advice, and he gave us that advice to go to Berlin, Ohio, where we had no intentions of going because there were people we didn't know. What you don't realize is I'm a very, 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 very shy person in the natural. But I'm not shy in the spirit. Hallelujah. And like I always say, if you and I have a conversation, it's usually you that keep this conversation going. Unless you get me started on some of the things of the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Otherwise, it's you keeping the story, the conversation going, because it's not me, but God. But God will make you what he wants you to be if you let him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I trust that somehow, some way today, God will make this mission church a mission church like it's never been before. I have a message for you today that I trust that will challenge you. I still have a desire to go to Paraguay. I don't know if God's going to allow me or not. I'll only be 90 years old in April. Normally, I shouldn't be able to do what I'm doing, but I'm doing. Hallelujah. God has a plan. And the enemy hasn't been able to stop it. And in that book, you'll read 13 times where Satan tried to kill me. 13 times that my parents didn't think I was going to make it. Several of them. Actually, the first one, before I was a year old, my parents were older Mennonites. They didn't believe in knowing that you're born again. They were taught that you only hope that when you died, you live good enough, that God would let you to heaven. They were not taught to pray. They're not taught to read the Bible too much. You get confused. Well, that's what happened to me. I read the Bible a little too much. Hallelujah. And I lost my mind. And got the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you this morning about what is in your heart. Title God gave me, What is in Your Heart? And in Matthew 15 and 11, I should have given you a copy of the notes back there. I apologize. I normally do that. And somehow I slipped up on it this morning. We're kind of in a rush this week, getting ready to leave this coming week to go back home where it's not so cold as it is up here. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. I might encourage some of you to come down there for a few months this winter. There'll be plenty for you to do. Hallelujah. God is faithful. And actually, we're having a group of carpenters. They said 10 to 12 carpenters coming down to do some work on a home base and put a roof on a church in Mexico. And actually, that pastor from Tennessee, as the pastor of that group, is getting there about the same day we are. And he had to go take his in-laws to Waco, Texas, to Austin, Texas, and then he's going to drive on down, moving them down and driving on down to see what the work that needs to be done. So about the same day we get there, it's worked out that way. But what is in your heart? In Matthew 15 and 11, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of the heart. And in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart is what comes out. You can tell where people are by what they say. Talk about wisdom. A little while ago, we prayed for the elders. You know, wisdom. God has given every one of you wisdom. People say, well, you don't judge people. You don't. God does that. And he sometimes lets you in on some of it. Because it's what's in your heart. And if God is in your heart, God can speak through you. And he does when you let him. Hallelujah. Okay. Go to Luke 10 and 30. I'm going to go through it. Try to go through it a little quickly. Because I want to get the point across to you this morning. Luke 10 and 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I suppose since he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was a Jew. I suppose. It doesn't say, just said a man. But since he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, I suppose he was a Jew. And the priest comes along. He didn't have time. He had to do what was in his heart. He had a responsibility, but he didn't even have a second or a minute to find out what the man needed. Along comes the Levite. Same way. But a Samaritan comes along, which the Jews called dogs. Since they were neither Jew nor Gentile, they were an ungodly race, couldn't know God. According to the Jews, they were the only ones that were able to know God. And so they did not like the Samaritans. But the Samaritan had something in his heart. Had compassion. And he went where he was. And he took care of him there. Put him on his own beast. And took him to an inn. And took care of him there till he had to leave. Then he left money with the innkeeper. Take care of him. And if you spend more than this, when I come back, I will repay you. He had no obligation whatsoever, but he had a heart with compassion for the lost. Not only the lost, for any man that was in need. How many times we walk by people that have a need? And the word says, if we say, be clothed, be blessed, be filled, and do nothing about it, how dwelleth the love of Christ in you? And okay, thank you, Mel. Acts 2:46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is when we get in tune with the Spirit of God. When we get lined up with God's word. And when we do what God asks us to do and expects us to do as believers. If you're not a believer this morning, it's still not for you, but I hope it'll be before you leave this place this morning. Because when you have Jesus in your heart, you have a responsibility to the people. If you want to be blessed, start blessing people. Yes, if you want to be blessed, start blessing people. Hallelujah, because God loves people. Hallelujah. The one he made, and he made them all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, in Genesis chapter 6, and I will just quote this. We have the most craziest, foolish man that ever lived on the face of the earth recorded in chapter 6 of Genesis. Noah. A man preached for 120 years, it's going to rain. Rain, what is rain? Now, we know what rain is, but there was no such a thing. That he preached for 120 years. He preached it's going to be a flood. A flood? You can't have a flood without rain or without water. The water all runs down the rivers and the streams, and it stays in its place. It didn't rain, so there couldn't have been any floods whatsoever. And he preached, 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 and he preached. Everybody called him the crazy man, a little like that man on the picture there that you saw, worked in a bank, and his mind snapped. And he used to have those, like a wire spike sticking up on a plate, fastened the bottom about that tall a spike to stick their papers on when they were finished with the papers so they'd stay in order. He stabbed himself, if I'm not... mistaken, I believe it was 13 times with that thing in the bank. They took him home, tied him with a chain like a dog, only at his leg, not his neck. His name was Pancho. And his brother came to the meeting. And after the service, he said, would you go pray for my brother? I said, we'd be glad to. He said, but you don't understand. My brother's totally, said, loco, crazy. Totally crazy. And he told me the story. I said, I know that God is able, and I believe that God will hear our prayer, and God will answer our prayer in the name of Jesus. He said, let's go. And we went about from here to where the driveway starts out here, where the driveways all come together. And come close to this hut, I heard a chain rattle on the inside. Goosebumps went up my back. But the compassion of God was there too. And when he opened the door, that man came as far as that chain let him come toward us. And me and three of our Bible school students were there, and they went around the one that we had to close to him, and he went the other side, as far as the chain left him go that way. When we got even to the post, He can't turn. And as he turned, he was in the air, flying. With his fingers like claws of a lion, teeth like teeth of a lion. He was not a human being. He was a human being, but in flesh, but inside, he was not. But the moment he got close enough that my hand, fingertips, touched his head, that man crumbled and fell straight to the ground. Never touched any of the rest of our body. We commanded the demons to come out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And after we prayed, God said, okay, the work is finished. The next week, Punch and his wife came to the meeting clothed and in his right mind and gave the hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you God wants to do those things here in Pennsylvania. And just close down the mental institutions around here in Jesus' name. They mistreat them. They don't treat them. They mistreat them. Try to shock the devil out of them. Can't do it. They need deliverance. And we've got it. It's in you as well as it is in me. I'm no different from you. But I'm a little more shy and timid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Noah preached and he preached and he preached. But one day, the animals started coming two by two into that ark on their own. That would probably convince me. When the lion can walk up the gangplank with the lamb and not eat it. But they didn't. They didn't. They didn't believe. And finally, God shut the door. Let me tell you something. We're living in a day and age where the scriptures are about to be fulfilled. And I don't know how you think about the rapture, but that's been taught as a way of escape. God says, for the elect's sake, those days are going to be shortened. And that's not talking about the Jew. That's talking about the believer. I believe with all my heart. I believed that 60 years ago.